In the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains. Amen. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Today is one of those extraordinary times where we catch Jesus and his disciples at the end of their capacity. No place, no space even to eat. Everybody is crushing in, wanting a piece. There's this, they kind of chasing each other around the lake, getting there first. There he goes. Let's go get him. And this kind of hairiness that reminds me a lot about modern life, how we are finding ourselves often, whether we are on the giving end or the receiving end, living very compressed, stressed lives. Jesus says, come away. Let's rest. Let's recuperate. But even that doesn't quite work. Again, they get there before him. And so he responds. He reaches out, has compassion, and teaches them. That, I think, is in this set of texts with Jeremiah added in, woe to the shepherds who have been self-dealing, these self-dealing kings, and this promise of creating a people of compassion and justice with leaders that rule well, makes it look like this is about the shepherd. This is about who's in charge. This is about who leads. That is true in this short focus, where Jesus sits down and teaches them. But to back out a little bit frames it differently, and I would say Jesus is doing exactly the opposite. He is actually teaching his disciples, and he's teaching them not about being a leader, but about how the flock is constituted, how to be a follower, how to exercise leadership. He's, I would say, maybe creating a new kind of sheep. I say this because of the bookends on either side of today's reading. So we heard it 2 weeks ago, where Jesus sends out these apostles. In fact, today's reading says the apostles came back, the sent ones came back, sends them out saying, you go teach. I'm not teaching. They're not ready for this, but he just says, go do it. See what happens. Go with very little, so you are really dependent on the situations you go to. That's on the front end of it. On the other end of it, which we will hear next week, is the feeding of the 5,000, which again is less about what Jesus does, what he tells the disciples to do. He says, you feed them. You give them something to eat. What do you have to work with? It's impossibly small? Okay, use it anyway. See what happens. Same thing happening on both sides. This is the frame for what he's doing here. He is equipping his followers to be leaders, but in a different kind of way. Leadership studies, I did a bit of study on this in the last 10 years. Leadership studies of the last 30 years have talked less and less about leaders and more about leadership, acknowledging that there is a difference between the two. Leaders, making a distinction between leaders and authority figures. So I'm an authority figure in this church. I am responsible for certain functions. Authority figures are responsible for protection, direction, and control in any group. But that's not necessarily leadership. I may be missing something that's super important going on. Often that will be heard or seen by somebody who's on the margin, who's in the corner, or who's at a different place in the institution. And leadership can be exercised by anyone, anywhere. We know this. We know suddenly someone's speaking up with a lone voice. Or in my previous parish, it was Lina Maori. Until Lina spoke, we knew we didn't have a consensus. She was sort of the matron of the parish. When Lina said, yes, I agree, then the wind was in the sails. Lina didn't have any authority, but she had leadership. Jesus is cultivating that, this kind of leadership from the bottom, when he sends his disciples out, his apostles, saying, don't take anything that gives you power. Do the opposite. Just go empty-handed and see what happens. It's a risk, but it allows us to discover the power that is already in the place to which we go, what the Spirit is doing. I met this last week with the healing team here at St. Paul's. It's a large group, 16 of us gathered, and there were more that were present to talk about this really deep, rich, important ministry of presence and assurance that is part of St. Paul's life. And yes, as the authority figure, as the leader, I have some perspective and guidance on what we do and how we do it in liturgy, but the real deep and embodied and embedded wisdom was in the group. And it was clear, and it was deeply helpful to me to discover and discern some of what the Spirit is doing, assuming that we all have a piece of this wisdom, this knowledge, how to move forward. This is a repeating cycle that happens everywhere in our common life. We imagine, we try new things out, discern whether they work or not, commit to them, reflect on them, and then do the cycle again. It's a learning cycle. We are going to do a deep dive into this on September 18th. We talked about this last week, where we're gathering all the parish together to listen in that deep, wisdom-seeking way, to say, what is it that you hear as God's call to us, as our deep DNA that is who God is anchoring us to be? I'll be focusing our attention, but the leadership is coming from all of us together. Jesus, as he talked about the kingdom of God, was not so much creating a vision of sheep who didn't quite know what was going on and a shepherd ruling over them or leading them. That's the image of the crowd that doesn't quite know what it needs and wants and is casting around. Something else is going on for us. And as I've been sitting with this, an image came to mind, also from nature. So I suggested a little bit playfully, but also as a tool for reflection. I don't know if you've ever seen this live, but maybe you've all seen it by video. These huge clouds, 100,000 strong, of sparrows that toward the end of the day start to coalesce. They've been doing their thing all through the day. The crowd is called a murmuration when they gather like this. And they become this kind of ball that undulates and changes and moves and expands and contracts. And it goes on for about an hour, and eventually they settle in the trees that they're going to roost in that night. Researchers don't completely know why they do it. Certainly it protects from predators, that massing. But there also seems to be a kind of wisdom going on. It's not groupthink. What they have discovered is that each bird is paying attention to the six birds around it. So it's tuned in to their movement And because every bird is doing that, even though there's this freedom of movement and change, but there's at the same time this cohesiveness, this collective wisdom, and it's that wisdom that chooses where we're landing tonight. As Jesus says, we are way more than sparrows, but there is something going on, I think, that is at least useful for me as I'm praying my way forward in this journey together. Having been through a 100-year pandemic is not a small thing. I'll just keep saying that over and over to remind myself and all of us. We have come through something immense and intense, and we're still going through. So just being acknowledging that, if we are weary and wary and exhausted, there's a reason. Jesus says, it's okay, come away and rest for a while. We're not like geese with a V saying, there we're going, yet. More like this murmuration. There's a flight plan, but it is a gathering and a listening and a collective discerning. Listening to the Spirit, who is leading us? Kind of a wisdom cloud, coming together, rising up, settling down, gathering strength, and moving forward. As we continue together, know that you are a conduit, a healer, a channel, and you may never know it. All that you need to do is speak the truth that is in you and listen to the six people around you for their truth. It won't be the same, but together we will know more deeply who we are and where we are called to go. God is doing something here and in our time. Amen.